You are now listening to the CRC podcast, brought to you by Pastor Act Bossif. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Come on, if you believe it this morning, jump on your feet if you're not on your feet already, and give the Lord Jesus a great praise wherever you are in the name of Jesus Christ. I greet you in the majestic, powerful, magnificent name of Jesus Christ this morning. All our hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that have made this their service during this lockdown time. Soon you will be with your pastors again. Pray for your pastor, support your pastor, send your tithe to your local church. Remember, churches still have to pay bills and make sure everything is operational during this, I don't want to call it a lockdown. So welcome to all our TBN viewers, our TBN Yetu viewers, a new channel all over Africa. One Gospel, what a great honor to be with all of you this morning. Facebook Live, YouTube Live, those in correctional facilities, CRC Online, radio stations, and people all over the world. I mean, it is absolutely amazing what God is doing through television, and we honor the heads of television stations. And I mean, we never thought anything was going to happen in Russia from our ministry, but somehow God has given us tremendous favor, and our viewership, factual viewership, have increased to 7.2 million viewers in Russia. Next year, we're having a great conference in Russia. It's amazing how God operates. When one door closes, another door opens. And I want to tell you that God is in control and that we are on the winning side. And soon, yes, very soon, we will all be back together again. God bless you. Thank you for being with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We are believing God to reopen our churches. I want to say we negotiate with government, but in the middle of February, we'll do so safely as we did in the past. So pray for us. Our buildings are safe, and when you come back, it's going to be a glorious time. A delay is not a denial. My message this morning, very simply, in this crisis time, unsinkable. I want you to say it this morning, unsinkable. Say it, unsinkable. Say, I am unsinkable. And I want to read Matthew 14 from verse 22 to 32. The Bible says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat to go before him to the other side. We're going to the other side, amen. I know there's no people here this morning, but by faith, they're from TV land. Let me feel your energy. I said, we're going over to the other side in Jesus' name. We're not just going to survive. We are going to thrive on the other side in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening had come, he was alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary or in opposition. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. In the midst of the storm, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Second time. Fear will always paralyze your faith. Fear will always take you down. And fear will always cause you to sink. We're going to talk about that, because we are unsinkable. I don't care that the Titanic sank, but I'm telling you that you are not going to sink. I'm telling you that you are not going under, you are going over. You will not be the tail, you will be the head. You are not only going to survive, you are going to thrive on the other side of the storm. Say amen this morning. 2021 will be your year of recovery and restoration. And by the way, restoration means more than before. It means you are going to have more peace, more joy, more wisdom, more courage, more faith, and more blessing. We have victory in the storm, and tough times don't last, but tough people do. We see again the disciples gripped in a severe storm. a second storm. This time, Jesus is not in their boat. And the disciples are in the middle of the storm, like scientists are telling us we are now in the middle of the storm. And again, their boat is tossed. Waves are beating into the boat. Waves of COVID are beating into the boat. Waves of uncertainty. Waves of fear. Waves of hurt. As I know, many people have lost loved ones and people have lost finances and people have lost jobs. But as we sang that last song, this is not the end of the story. This is a bad chapter. And God is still writing the story. And God is going to bring you through to the other side. Hallelujah. I don't care how many waves are beating into our ships or our boats right now. I want to tell you that God is not going to forsake you. God is not going to abandon you. And you are coming out stronger on the other side. And you will be unsinkable in the name of Jesus. That's the amazing thing. As soon as people are controlled by fear, they lose their discernment and their perspective. You listen to people today, they talk more about the Antichrist than the risen Christ. They talk more about COVID than they talk about God. They talk more about the negatives than looking for the fingerprints and the actions of God in our world. Hey, we are still alive. We are still breathing. We still have a future. We still have a hope. God is still on the throne, and God still says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And I know you are sitting in the storm. I'm sitting in the storm. My youngest daughter had to have her child earlier affected by COVID. I don't think there's a person alive now that has not been touched or affected by COVID. Us as pastors, maybe more than anybody else, because we have members who have passed away. Some pastors have passed away. It's a very difficult time. And I ask you, as Christians out there, don't criticize pastors. We really are seeking the face of God to make the right decisions for your safety, also to ensure the welfare and the expansion of God's kingdom. I mean, an American preacher that came to South Africa said that there are no pastors in South Africa with any testicles because they just roll over to government. I'll say it as I said this week, and maybe you think it's not applicable on national TV, but hey, we'll get to heaven and we'll see who did what for Jesus Christ. We, as leaders of God in South Africa, are not about to roll over to the devil, to COVID, but we still are shepherds under the great shepherd, and we have to make sure that you are safe, that you are settled, and then we are going to open our churches, hey, and we are going to plunder hell, and we are going to populate heaven, and we are going to hasten the scoreboard, and we're going to have crusades and do great and mighty things for God. Can I have an amen on the balcony? Somebody in this place shout hallelujah. So the disciples lose discernment. And I want to say this. I'm not going to talk about the vaccine, because the minute you say vaccine, people say Antichrist. You know, Kenneth Hagin, a very wise man, said, if you're going to look for the devil, you're going to find two demons behind every bush. It's like people are so devil conscious that they forgot that there is a God, and that God will outsmart Satan any day of the week, that God will even use Satan to serve his purpose on planet Earth as it in the Old Testament. So we have prayed. We have prayed for deliverance. We have prayed for God's intervention on planet Earth. And we must be open to follow what God leads us into. It's like the man who was in a flood in America somewhere, and as the waters were rising, he climbed on the roof. The waters continued to rise. He climbed on the chimney, eventually to the top of the chimney, and he cried out to God. He said, God, save me. God, save me. And here came a little boat, and the boat stopped where the man was and said, hey, climb into the boat. You're going to drown. He says, no. I pray to God. God's going to deliver me. God's going to save me. Well, the people went on to go save somebody else. Later on, the water was up to his waist. He's on top of the chimney. Along comes another little boat. Same story. Eventually, the water is almost to his neck. His hands are out, and a helicopter comes, lowers down a ladder, and the people say, hey, you're going to drown. There's not much time left. He shouts up. He says, I pray to God to save me. God is not going to fail me. And eventually the man drowns. Dead. He gets to heaven. He says, but God, I prayed. I trusted you. I believed you. God's reply, I sent two little boats and I sent a helicopter. Come on. That says it all, family. Not everything is the devil. Not everything is the Antichrist. We should not be so gripped by fear that we lose focus of God's goodness and God's grace, and that God is the one that still gives wisdom even to the unsaved scientist. God gives wisdom to the doctor. God uses the physician. God uses any method to save his people. But ultimately, our trust and our hope is in the Lord. Say amen this morning in Jesus' name. So there is a big difference between faith, foolishness, and presumption. So these disciples are caught in a storm, and I want to say it again. Jesus, who is omniscient, is the one who sends them into the eye of the storm. Think about that. He never told them there's a storm. Last week we also saw he never told the disciples of a storm, a raging storm, that they would find themselves in turmoil, in opposition. So people think God always has to pre-warn his church about storms. He doesn't. He's prepared us. He gave us the Holy Ghost. He gave us the Word of God. He gave us faith. He gave us wisdom to navigate the storms of God, because we have the fire and the power of God on the inside of us. We have the greater one on the inside of us. And no matter what comes our way, we have the victory. Remember in John chapter 16, Jesus said, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, times of uncertainty. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So the other disciples go into the eye of the storm. And Jesus knows. Last time he was asleep in the boat. Now he's in prayer. And it's like, hey, don't you care? Why didn't you tell us about the storm? Why didn't you tell us about a second wave? Because it doesn't matter about the wave. It's not about the storm. It's about the person and the presence and the power of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still is able to save you and deliver you and sustain you. He still is the one that will either climb in your boat or walk you on the water out of your boat in the name of Jesus Christ. But he is the one that is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And he has made you victorious, and he has given you the power to overcome. So the other disciples are again, and their boat is tossed to and fro. I mean, it's like life today. Uncertainties, job losses, storm upon storm. Everybody thought, wow, the storm is over. Pastors as well, the storm is over. We're getting back to normal. And suddenly a second wave. You know, one of my greatest dreams on my bucket list, whether it's going to realize, I don't know, is to one day climb on a two-man yacht and to sail from Africa to another continent. I want to navigate an ocean. I want to just go into the unknown. So I've watched a lot of YouTube videos. I've done a lot of surveys on this. And I've seen that, you know, there are times that the sea is fantastic and it's calm and it's plain sailing, but then the waves begin to change and things begin to change, and sometimes those people find themselves in a storm, or they try and outrun the storm, but the storm catches up to them. How they have to adjust their sails all the time, how they have to navigate, but how they have to stay focused, how they have to tack. Sometimes they first have to go a little bit in this direction so that they can get back to the direction that God has for them. So what we are facing now is a detour. People think it's the Antichrist taking over. Hey, it's not time for the rule of the Antichrist, because God himself said, "As truly as I am God, all the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Before the rule of the Antichrist, I want to tell you, my brother and my sister, there's going to be the greatest revival on planet earth that this world has ever seen. God's going to use this very thing for his glory, and God's going to use this very thing for millions and multitudes to get saved. Jump out of your seat this morning and shout amen. In the name of Jesus, what was meant for evil, God is going to turn around for our good. And last time I read the Bible, we win. We are on the winning side. We are not under COVID. We are not under the devil. We are not under the weather. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and God's grace is sufficient for us to get us through the storm. Oh, come on, shout amen. Anybody in the band this morning, I'll take any amen I can get. Cameraman, camera woman, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Shabba, shabba, shabba. Say, what is that? Well, just shout unto God, make a joyful noise unto God, all you lands, in Jesus' name. So, I believe he sent them into the eye of the storm So he can teach them how to be unsinkable. I said unsinkable. You're not going down. You're going over. You're going to walk on the storm. You're going to walk on the water like Peter. So, I want to give you four things on how to be unsinkable in this time. Number one, and you've heard me say this a million times, but you'll hear it again and again and again and again. You have to look unto Jesus. The minute you take your eyes off Jesus, you will be overwhelmed by circumstances and by fear. You can't watch CNN all the time. You can't listen to every negative preacher. You can't listen to every end-time prophet that has no spirit of faith. And there's a lot of them right now. I sit in meetings and I just hear fear, fear, fear. Not a pastor with faith and hope that says, okay, Mr. President, let's unite and let's beat this thing in the name of Jesus Christ. Have to keep your eyes on Jesus. I thank God for the scientist, but the scientist is not our deliverer. It's not our savior. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. When Peter took his eyes off Jesus, what happened? He began to sink. Fear overwhelmed him. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You know, and the bigger the waves become, that's what I learned from sailors, solo sailors and couples that sail. The greatest thing you can do, you can't yield to the storm. You can't give in to the storm. You can't be concerned about the size of the waves. You have to adjust your sails and you have to stay sure in your plan to reach the other side, no matter how big the waves become, because that boat is designed to go over the wave. You are designed to go over the wave. You are designed to go through the storm. You hail from God. You are born from above. You have the seed of greatness on the inside of you. You were destined for great victory, but you have to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody, wherever you are in Russia, Russia, give the Lord a praise. Give the name of Jesus a praise. Come on, right where you are, in the midst of your storm, in your boat being tossed to and fro, jump out of your seat and have church in your lounge this morning and give the name of Jesus a bit of praise. Come on, hallelujah. I know many people have been affected and have felt the bite of this COVID. Remember when the serpents came into the camp of the Israelites and many of them died? What did God just say to Moses? He said, make a brazen serpent and put it on a pole, and everybody that's bitten and looks shall live. I didn't say he's going to take you through tomorrow, but I said he's going to take you through. He will save you. He's orchestrating your plan of deliverance. You have to keep your eyes on him. And the stronger the winds blow and the more the storms beat into your boat, the more intentional you have to be to lift up your eyes. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. I mean, there was death in the camp. There's death in South Africa. Every day we switch on television, we see more people died, more people infected, etc. And it's so easy to be overwhelmed by this and to become all afraid and to be controlled by fear. And I'm going to talk about that as point number three, not to allow fear into your life, because fear will stop you from life. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will rob you of your faith. You have to keep your eyes on Jesus and his report and make up your mind. That's why the Lord says, I will lift up my eyes. God said to those when death were in the camp, God said, tell the people to lift their eyes and look to the bronze serpent. Well, that's a type of Jesus Christ in John chapter 3. It says, as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That whoever calls on his name shall be saved. Whoever believes in the name of the Lord shall not be condemned, shall be saved. I want to tell you that he still is able to save you, to deliver you, to secure you, and to walk you through your storm. Say a good amen and give the Lord a praise. Come on, hallelujah. I hear you with my spiritual ear, praising God wherever you are. Number two, How will you walk or be unsinkable while you are being tossed to and fro? You have to obey the word. I mean, as a matter of fact, Peter wasn't walking on the water, he was walking on the word, the word Jesus gave him. This has to be our compass. This has to be the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. This. I mean, people want God to give them a spotlight. He doesn't. He gives you faith for every day. He gives you the next step. And let me say this, a little faith is better than no faith. No faith will get you nowhere. Peter had to get out of the boat. Some of you have to get out of the boat of fear. You have to get out of the boat of discouragement, out of the boat of negativity, out of the boat of uncertainty, out of the boat of lack of vision. You have to get out of the boat of the Word of God and get your nose back into the Bible, because His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Listen to me very carefully. We are not going through the storm by putting the Word of God on the back burner. We're not going to be unsinkable by violating the principles of God, by stopping seed time and harvest, by not speaking words of life, by beginning to say what people in the world say. We are different. People may mock us, but we walk by faith, we live by faith, we please God by faith, we overcome by faith, and there's one place faith comes from, and that is from the Word of God. Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Let me tell you, fear cometh by hearing the word of the devil. Fear will steal your hope. Faith gives you hope. The Word of God gives you hope. The Word of God gives you certainty. The Word of God shows you the next step. The Word of God turns your stumbling blocks into stepping stones. So we have to obey the Word of God. That's what Peter did. He said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come. He said, come. So we have to obey the Word of God twofold, the Logos and the Rhema. The Bible says, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Matthew 7, now listen to me. We cannot, although we sit in our homes and we're in a lockdown, be controlled by any other word than the Word of God. Because God watches over His Word to perform it in our lives. Bible says this word has been tested in the furnace of the earth. The word has been tested and tried in every storm and has never failed. We cannot be controlled by fear that we violate the principles of God's word. Can I have an amen this morning? So listen to me very carefully. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, the Bible says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended. It's not whether the rain will come, it's when will it come. The floods came. The winds blew and beat upon the house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the word or on the rock. What does it mean to be founded on the rock? It means to hear the word and do the word. Not to hear the word of a politician or hear the word of a media reporter and that report controls your life. Do you believe God cannot sustain you today? Do you believe God's word is irrelevant today? The Bible says this word is exalted above His name. So we have to talk about what God says and not about what everybody else says. Can I have an amen? Says everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. I mean, if you stop sowing your finances into your local church, you stop tithing, and you stop being generous with your finances, you will stop the job, you will stop the blessing, you will stop the provision, because it's a principle in God's word. You bring your tithe, God honors you, and He opens the storehouse and He blesses you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You hear people who say, I don't want to go out, I'm going to catch the COVID. Well, I'm not being insensitive. A lot of people, like I say, my own relatives have had COVID, etc. And I have my staff tested all the time. I tested all my staff this week that work close to me again, and they're all negative. So it's not like I'm foolish. We fight this with faith and wisdom. But we cannot allow what the world calls wisdom to replace the wisdom of God, which is founded in His Word. The Bible says things of God are foolishness to the world. You hear how people mock preachers today, how people mock God today. It's a spirit of mockery out there in the world. But hey, we don't have to defend God. God's going to show up. God's going to move. God's going to deliver you. God's going to change the world. Revival will come. Think about it. All over the earth, there's a move of God about to break loose, and there's no devil, no scientist, no government who can stop it, because you cannot legislate the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on. Shout amen in Jesus' name. And then you have to live by Rhema. Not the Rhema church, the Rhema word of God, which is revelation by the Spirit of God. John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said, "It's to your advantage that I go, because if I don't go, I won't send the Holy Ghost." Verse 13, He says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." So do you think God cannot guide you through this uncertain time? That God cannot show you how to adjust your sails? That this is not the time for one size to fit all? You have to walk in the Word, and you have to walk in relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'll talk about that next week. Who is your helper, your guide, who will lead you through this uncertain storm so that you can be unsinkable. I hear somebody say, "Yeah, but somebody else said they sank." Well, you're not them. You live by your faith. You overcome by your faith. You walk your walk. You talk your talk. This is your time to put your faith into action in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, family. We are not going to go into a negative mode. We are not going to be controlled by the word of the devil. We make up our minds to order our steps in the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. I know, just like you, I wonder why the Bible didn't say His word is a spotlight. Because I want to see all over there. Now, God gives a promise to the disciples. He says, "Let's go to the other side." And then the storm comes, and then they have to take one step at a time. Because if it wasn't like that, we would not live dependent on Jesus. So it's not negative, it's living dependent. How to adjust the sales in your business, how to adjust the way you manage your staff, how to adjust Christianity, church. I mean, people think we're all backslidden and we're lukewarm because we don't open our buildings in rebellion to the government. The time will come when we will open our buildings in agreement with pastors all over South Africa, and we will do it righteously so that nobody can say that we put people at risk unnecessarily. We will do that, I believe, sometime in February. That's what I feel in my heart by the Holy Ghost, okay? You have to walk in the Rhema word of God. Number three, I have to close. Don't allow fear into your heart. You want to remain unsinkable, don't allow fear into your heart. Because fear will paralyze your faith. Fear always is false evidence that appears real. You cannot have faith and fear. You have to choose. Now, you can immediately hear when people open their mouth what spirit they are talking by, fear or faith. I sit in meetings and I sit in Zoom meetings all the time, and I don't mean to criticize any Christian leader out there. This week I had to sit in a Zoom meeting to convince many pastors not to sue the government. Then I sit in other meetings with Christian leaders to tell them, "Hey, it's like get a cracker up your nostril." Okay, that was not too appropriate. But I mean, hey, let's just not talk about the COVID and people are dying, and we're afraid, we are perishing. Let's talk about the future. Let's prophesy the future. Let's talk about heaven. Let's talk about the goodness of God. Let's talk about what God is doing. Let's give hope to the people of God. Let's rise up in the name of Jesus. Let's do what we can to reach our world for Jesus Christ in this pandemic. Can I have an amen out there from Pastor, whoever? So fear will always sink you. It's when Peter saw the wind was boisterous, like now. Oh, the second wave is worse than the first wave. Boisterous. He became afraid. I see it all the time, how afraid people are. What are we afraid of? Are we afraid to die? Why are we afraid to die? If death has lost its power, we don't fear death as Christians. We choose life. And rather than spending our energy on fearing, we should believe God for many good days and believe God for life, believe God for victory, believe God that we are going over, believe God that His grace is sufficient. Can I have an amen in the name of Jesus? Oh, come on, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I feel the Holy Ghost touching somebody today, stirring you up, getting you back on your feet in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on. Not by might nor by power, but by the Holy Ghost. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Say amen in Jesus' name. And then finally, we have to turn our worry into worship. This is a time that we have to worship like never. This is a time that we have to talk less and worship more. And by worship, I mean prayer as well. We have to turn our problems into prayer. We have to turn our worries into worship. Jesus teaches us in Luke chapter 12 not to worry. Worry is perverted meditation. Worry is exactly what the disciples did. They saw themselves perishing although they were still afloat. People worry about things they cannot change. Jesus says, don't worry. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. He says, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you His kingdom. Not just talking about eternal life. Let's talk about life on this earth as well. John 10 verse 10, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. But you have to keep your eyes on Jesus. You have to take the Word of God and devour the Word of God like never. You have to keep fear out. You have to turn all your worries into worship. Worship Him in your time of uncertainty. Worship Him in the day of calamity. Worship Him in the day of your sickness. Worship Him in the moment of weakness. Worship Him like Job, after he lost everything and his wife cursed him and said, why don't you curse God and die? He said, though He smites me, yet will I trust Him. And he worshipped up. Come on, CRC, Christian in Nigeria, Christian wherever you are this morning, you worship the King of Kings and you worship the Lord of Lords, and that spirit of fear is going to be broken off of you. Hallelujah. And you will go over this time afloat, unsinkable, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to close with three powerful scriptures that will inspire you. Psalm 58 verse 3 to 5 in the Passion Translation, the Bible says, and then we're going to sing that worship song, okay? The first worship song, which is was also a last worship song. Listen, this is beautiful. Oh, I tell you, if the Word of God doesn't inspire you, I don't know what inspires you. Do you switch TV on and it's just like, ugh. You listen to people, it's like, ugh. You read the Bible and it's like, yes, we can. Hope. There's life. There's a future. That's what we say. Don't want to steal this. He will steal the Word. The Bible says, but in the day that I'm afraid, I lay all my fears before You, and I trust You with all my heart. What harm could a man bring to me? With God on my side, I will not be afraid of what comes. With God on my side, I will not be afraid of what comes. The roaring praises of God fill my heart. Hallelujah. The roaring praises of God fill my heart. And I will always triumph as I trust his promises. Isaiah 35 verse 4, say to the anxious and the fearful, be strong and never afraid. Look, here comes your God. He is breaking through to give you victory. That's the Bible. This is not foolish hope. This is a certain hope. Here comes God, your God. He's breaking through to give you victory. He comes to avenge your enemies. With divine retribution, he comes to save you. Psalm 55, 22. So here's what I've learned through it all. Leave all your cares and anxieties at the feet of the Lord. I'll say Jesus. And measureless grace will strengthen you. I don't care who caused the COVID. I don't care what people conspired. I don't care who's behind it. I don't care what the plans of Satan are and world powers. They cannot outsmart or outwit God for a millisecond. God will use this for his glory and for the greatest revival that this world has ever seen. And yes, we are suffering, and many people are suffering, and people have died. And I don't try to minimize the tragedy of death, but my brother died of cancer. My father died of cancer. Many of my aunts died of cancer. I've had cousins die of cancer. I don't live in fear of cancer. I don't magnify cancer. We're not going to magnify this COVID. We magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, and we make sure that should that day come to us as a thief in the night, we are ready and we are right and we have peace with God. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. You've watched me this morning. They're in Russia, in one of the other beautiful countries here in South Africa. And this morning you have no certainty. If you had to die, you don't know where you would spend eternity. I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. And the first thing he wants to save you from is from sin. And he wants to give you eternal life. And once you have Jesus, you don't have to fear death any longer. You live a life of purpose. You live for God. So while every head is bowed, right where you are this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. I need a fresh start, a new beginning. I want to give my life to Jesus. Then I want you to put your hand on your heart right now, wherever you are, and pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, say it. Say, Lord Jesus, this morning I give myself back to you. Thank you that you came to die for my sin. I'm lost without you. And today I turn back to you and I give myself back to you. And I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for a new life and a new beginning, and for peace that surpasses all understanding. I put my life in your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. I know you meant that prayer. Please write the address on your screen. We want to help you. We care about you. You know, life is not about being alone. God created us socially. God said to Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. So many strong older Christians say, well, we don't need church to be strong. Wrong statement. Foolish statement. We need the church. On the day of Pentecost, God birthed his church in multitudes of people. He never birthed his church in isolation. He birthed his church together. And in the New Testament, he teaches us to pray our Father. So I understand this attack. It may be a health challenge, but there's a spirit behind it that wants to destroy and ruin God's kingdom. That is a fact, because the battle ultimately is light and darkness. Stay vigilant. Stay committed. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the church of Jesus Christ. Be a unifier, not a scatterer. Be a blesser. And when it comes to the vaccine, please keep your opinion to yourself. It's and I'll prove it to you, I'll talk about it. It's an issue of conscience. If your conscience does not allow you to have the vaccine, good for you. If somebody else has the vaccine, leave them. Don't judge them. Don't tell them they had no faith. They stop going to the dentist. Never take your child to the doctor. Never take medicine. If you break your leg, don't go to the doctor. And what about all the other vaccines that you had in any case? So I'm not advocating this vaccine. I'm saying, shut up and let every Christian decide for themselves as they have a conscience before God, as they feel. I love you enough to speak truth. God bless you. To our television audience, thank you for being with us this morning. Remember, God loves you. Your past is under stress right now. Churches haven't been opened. Many pastors don't have any data platforms. Pray for your pastor. Your pastor is a gift from God. I bless each and every one of you. Love to all of you. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.